Cheryl, you've just had a report published about urban Aboriginal health. Could you tell me a little bit about what it is you were looking at?
Yes, so right now it's more than 50% of Aboriginal people in Canada who live in cities, but most of our research in Canada is done within First Nations communities. And in Alberta, it's actually over 60% of the Aboriginal population lives in cities. And so I wanted to look at, focus my work on Aboriginal populations within a city environment. And in Alberta, Edmonton is a large center with a large population of Aboriginal people. So I focused my research on that group.
And how did you go about your research?
Well, a random sample of the population is difficult. Aboriginal people are 5% of the Edmonton population. And so it was a non-random sample, but we used Statistics Canada data to shape how we did the recruitment. So we recruited based on Statistics Canada guidelines in terms of the gender and age and the statistics that StatsCan puts out to tell us what the sample should look like to be representative.
You actually involved quite a number of people. I think the figure I saw was 400.
Almost 400. So our goal was 400. We had 381 adults, and all the data was collected in person at the University of Alberta. So these were all in-person surveys and then interviews conducted there.
And what kinds of questions were you asking people?
I was interested specifically in prescription drug problems and illicit drug problems. So we asked standard questions about illicit and prescription drug misuse and dependence, like addictions. And then we also asked all sorts of questions that might be protective factors that we know from the literature, like social support, education levels, other positive things happening in people's lives. And one of the factors we looked at was culture, the extent to which they practice Aboriginal culture. And of all the factors we looked at, Aboriginal cultural participation really stood out as a protective factor for this population.
So what do you mean by that?
We asked people to self-define what it meant to practice culture. So we didn't tell people, this is what it means to practice Aboriginal culture, and do you do that? We said, you know, do you participate in Aboriginal culture as you define that to be? Or do you participate in Aboriginal cultural values as you define those to be? And then we create a score from that.
So what kinds of things would they say were cultural or traditional for them that they practiced in the city?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we did ask them what it meant to practice culture, and the top things that they told us were participating in Aboriginal spiritual ceremonies, like the sweat lodge, sun dance, things like that, and then participating in Aboriginal cultural events like powwows and round dances. And then they said key values were Aboriginal spirituality as a value and family. And then other key values were respecting themselves, respecting others, and respecting the earth.
And would these be traditions that they had practiced all along, or were they things that they had kind of rediscovered for themselves?
There was a mix. So some of the people in the sample had gone to residential school, and for many of those participants, there was a bit of a rediscovery where they came back to it as adults and learned the culture for themselves, culture they had never had the chance to learn as children. There was other people in the sample who did learn the culture from their parents and their grandparents growing up, and so it was just a continuation for them.
So what was the upshot of all this?
Well, what the study found was that when we look at general population surveys, we do see heightened levels of illicit and prescription drug problems in Aboriginal populations. But what this study found was the more Aboriginal people said they were participating in culture, Aboriginal culture, the less illicit drug problems and the less prescription drug problems. So for both types of drug categories, they went down dramatically in a dose response fashion. So as culture went up, drug problems went down sort of in a stepwise fashion.
So what does this mean to you as a researcher, this finding?
Well, it suggests to me that we have to start asking different questions and looking for different answers that are really grounded within the Aboriginal community themselves. I do think that Aboriginal culture itself, what this study suggests to me is that it could be an important protective factor. Often we have a misperception that when Aboriginal people move into a city or grow up in a city, that they aren't strong in their culture. And what a key finding from this study was that Aboriginal people living in Edmonton were very culturally active. So they were extremely culturally active, participating in their culture, both within the city and leaving the city to participate in events or smudging at home, for example, going to cultural events within the city. And so this idea that Aboriginal people that live in a city aren't cultural is perhaps a bit of a myth, at least based on this study, and that the culture can really have perhaps a protective effect. Having culture in their lives is something that's protecting them, something that perhaps they don't need to turn to drugs, or perhaps those who do get into trouble with drugs, perhaps they're using culture to help them heal. And so at this point in the study, because this is just the first study, we don't know exactly how culture is protecting. So one of the key findings from the study is that part of the reason culture is protective is that it's increasing the self-esteem of Aboriginal people in cities. But increasing self-esteem can't explain the whole story. Statistically, culture is protecting Aboriginal people in other ways that the statistics couldn't explain. And so there's something else going on that I can't tell you what that is yet, because we need more research. That's also protective.
So what are your next steps?
Next steps is I'm doing a study right now in Lethbridge, a smaller study, just to try to figure out what the questions are that we need to ask to really get at what is it about culture that's protective. So it's a small study, just trying to get the right questions, figure out what the right questions are. And then from there, I am hoping to do another larger study in Alberta within cities, and perhaps even outside of Alberta, to try to get a better understanding of how are Aboriginal people practicing culture in the city? Is that different for different cultural groups? How is it protective? And how can we support that? So if Aboriginal people are trying to maintain their culture in a city, is that difficult? Is there programs? Are there things we can put into place to help that process? So those will be some areas that I focus on.
And do you think it might change the way healthcare is practiced for Aboriginal people?
Not sure. I mean, I think some of what this study is suggesting is that culture might protect Aboriginal people before they come into contact with healthcare. So it could be a preventative factor. So it might be something that changes the way we think about community. When we think about a community in a city, how does that community also involve Aboriginal culture and Aboriginal peoples? I don't know if I can speculate on how it would influence the healthcare system at this point, but that's an interesting question, though.
What are some of the other things that you found out with this study?
Well, one important and surprising finding has to do with the protective effects of culture for Aboriginal people in the city who haven't completed high school. And so what we know is that adults who do not complete high school are a high-risk group for drug problems in any population we study, Aboriginal or non. And in this study, it was almost half of the Aboriginal adults in the study who did not complete high school. And so we would expect very high levels of drug problems in this group because they don't have a high school degree. And that was the case, but it was only the case for those people who did not participate in Aboriginal culture. So urban Aboriginals who didn't have a high school degree but were highly involved in their culture appeared to be protective. They had very few drug problems. And so that was a surprising finding. And what it suggests is that Aboriginal culture is promoting resiliency. These people are in a place where they're high risk for drug problems, and yet they're practicing their culture quite strongly, and for some reason they have very low levels of drug problems in that situation. And again, I would say this encourages the growth of programs that support Aboriginal people.
And where is it that your study's been published?
It's been published in Social Science and Medicine. So it is available now online.
And I see that you have quite an impressive list of people and organizations who've been involved in the study. Could you tell me who your supporters are?
Sure. So there was a number of funders on the study. The Alberta Gambling Research Institute, because I looked at a number of addictions, so the Alberta Gambling Research Institute was one of the key funders, the Alberta Centre for Child, Family, and Community, and Alberta Innovates Health Solutions. They were the three top funders of this study and really made a big difference in terms of allowing this work to go ahead and take place.
Well, thank you very much, Cheryl, for taking the time to explain it to me. It sounds like you've got lots of work ahead of you, too, that it's quite encouraging work.
Yes, I think so.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.